On Sunday, we reflected on Jesus cleansing the temple, which leads us to reflect on this whole process of being cleansed, of the Lord purifying the temple of our hearts, as well as the temple of our families and temple of the church. The Lord is in this constant process of cleansing us, if we're willing to be cleansed. Today's readings, taking this same line of thinking, today's readings give us an opportunity to reflect on being cleansed of sin. That should be the first thing we think of anyway, but often it's not. We think we have to be cleansed of the injustices that have been done against us, or we have to be cleansed of the things that are troubling us, financial concerns or family concerns or illnesses or whatever. We think God should take these things away. He should purify our lives of the things we don't want. But that's not the main work of purification. The main thing is to be cleansed of sin. And as an example for how to think about this, we're given in today's first reading this prayer of Azariah from the book of Daniel. This is a lengthened instruction, how Azariah prays, how Azariah thinks about the problem of sin. Now, remember, Azariah is one of the three young men who gets thrown into the white-hot furnace. The emperor, what was his name? Nebuchadnezzar, is that right? Nebuchadnezzar. Anyway, you know, the most powerful man in the world had set up a statue and said everybody has to bow down before the statue. And the three young men, they wouldn't do it. They said, we're not going to leave our God in order to serve a false God. And the threat is, well, then you'll be thrown into the furnace. And they said, well, so what? We belong to God. And so they were bound up and thrown into the furnace. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Well, Abednego, his other name is Azariah. So he's one of the three, Azariah, and he's here praying in the furnace. That's why the reading starts out, Azariah stood up in the fire and prayed aloud. So now we have to get the picture here. Here is an innocent victim being punished for a crime that is not really a crime. The evil one is obviously Nebuchadnezzar and his henchmen. The three men are innocent, and yet they're made to suffer the worst possible execution. They're thrown alive into a fire. It's important to know the setting, because it's the kind of setting that would make us say, well, the prayer is, get us out of here, save us from this injustice. This shouldn't happen, and the one who should be punished is this evil king. If you're going to pour down your wrath on someone, Lord, pour it down on that guy, not on us. That's typically how we react. We shouldn't suffer. We're innocent. Azariah does not do that. He doesn't even think like that. It's amazing. And this is his prayer. We would pray probably more like, remember the rich man in last week's parable, the rich man and Lazarus? He was thrown into a fire. And all he does is complain. Here I am, I'm tormented in these flames. Why don't you send Lazarus to give me some water to drink, or at least a drop of water? I'm dying of thirst here. That's the rich man. And that's how we would pray. You know, this shouldn't be happening. I don't like it. It's saved me from this torment. But Azariah, no. He says, exercise your greatness, Lord. Be faithful to your promise. Show yourself to be merciful. Reveal the glory of your holy name. Yes, we're sinners. We have no right to be saved. We're stuck in this condition, brought low everywhere in the world this day because of our sins. Now, Azariah, as I say, he's an innocent victim. He's not being punished for his own personal sins, but he's identifying himself with his nation, the sins of his people, and saying, we really are sinners. We really don't have any claim we don't have a just complaint against God. Justice is on God's side. Now, this is an excerpt from the prayer. If you remember, it's quite a long prayer. In fact, it comes in two parts. This part, the first part, is Azariah basically throwing himself and they throw themselves at the mercy of God. We're here because we're trying to be faithful to you, and please have mercy on us. We skip over the part where he says that Nebuchadnezzar is the worst guy who ever lived, and you should take your vengeance out on him. We don't read that part. I think the church doesn't want us to be distracted by that, because the heart of it is asking God to be himself. Deliver us by your wonders and bring glory to your name, O Lord. And after this part of the prayer, according to the book of Daniel, the angel comes down and moves the flames out of the way. And then the three young men break into this beautiful hymn of praise, which we pray very often in morning prayer. If you pray morning prayer, you know it very well. Sun and moon, bless the Lord. Stars of heaven, bless the Lord. Every shower and dew, bless the Lord. And everybody bless the Lord. It's a great hymn of thanksgiving and praise to God. Everything in the whole of creation should be praising God. Now remember, they're standing in the middle of a white hot furnace when they're praying that. The lesson here is, in our relationship with God, we are debtors. We have no demands. We are to be humbled, or to humble ourselves before him, acknowledge our sin, and acknowledge the greatness of his mercy. That's the right way to pray. We owe a huge debt to God. No sense pretending otherwise. And let him show how great he is. How he does it, it's up to him. If he saves us from the flames, okay. If he lets us experience some small part of what is a just consequence, okay. He's a good God. He's a very good God. And he has promised to remain faithful to his covenant. So that's what we learn. Now, when we turn to the gospel, we see there's another dimension of the purification required. Not only a purification of our sins against God, but the purification of our sins against one another and of our demand for justice from one another. And these are connected, and the parable in today's gospel brings it out very well. The servant owes the master a huge amount. That's us, that's all of us. We're not as innocent as we think, or as we might claim to be, or we're not so much more innocent than anybody else. We're all in huge debt to the master. We plead for mercy, and he's merciful. That's the great news. Moved with compassion, the master of that servant let him go and forgave him the loan. That's the mercy of God. Now, the second part of the parable is the challenge to us. Because it's one thing to say, it's hard enough to say, I'm a sinner and Lord have mercy, but we can do that. But when some other person comes along who has done something against us, then we want to rise up and say, well, that we can't put up with that. We can't tolerate that treatment. He has to pay. And that's what happens. The servant who's living in the joy of being forgiven, who's in the freedom that comes straight from the master, he walks up to the other guy and starts choking him. That's why it's so disturbing, because the contrast is deliberate. Receiving mercy, but not giving mercy. Being forgiven but not forgiving. It is disturbing. And that's why the fellow servants are so disturbed by it that they turn to the master and say, something didn't work here. Mercy did not get past the surface here. And the master calls him back in and says, you're not playing by the rules. You get forgiven, you should forgive. You experience mercy, be merciful. Now, to apply this, of course, we have to acknowledge that we have suffered injustices. People have hurt us, robbed us, hurt us, offended us, abused us, or our loved ones. That people have done things that are seriously wrong, and we're the victims of it. So justice does demand that those people pay back. But we are not the ultimate judge of what is just, nor do we have a right to make ultimate demands. In this world, yes, we have to work for justice. Justice is a good thing, it's not bad. Justice is very good, and we should work for a just society, and we should not allow unjust people to persist in injustice. So this parable isn't saying just let everybody, just forgive everybody's debts and let people who squander our money keep doing it. No, that's a wrong understanding. Justice is good, but we are not the ones who determine how and when and how much, because we ourselves have been forgiven a huge debt. So that's why in our hearts, we have to be free of any resentment or any lack of forgiveness, any hardness. We have to work. This is the cleansing that the Lord wants to do in us. Cleansing of the temple, it's easy to drive out money changers and doves and animals. It's hard to drive out hardness of heart. It's very hard. Jesus had a very hard time with those who were hard of heart, because hardness of heart just doesn't get released that easily. This is the work. So even if we do have to exercise a bit of tough love, even if we do have to allow people to experience consequences of their wrongdoing, and sometimes that's the right thing to do, we can never harden our hearts toward those who have harmed us or sinned against us, because that becomes our problem. So if someone owes you, no one owes a huge amount, because by comparison, everything is small in this world. If someone owes you 100 billion pesos, that's small by comparison to your debt to the Lord. So get it right. So, but if someone owes you what looks like a huge amount, yes, tell him he's supposed to pay. And if he doesn't pay, well, then he has to start paying back or make some compensation. But never harden the heart against the person as if you're against him. You're just against the injustice, but not against the person. We are all fellow servants. We're all brothers and sisters, and we've all messed up this world, so we have no right to make absolute demands on anybody. This is a purification. This is a great work of cleansing. Part of our Lent is letting this cleansing take place. Anyone who we have a difficulty forgiving, we have to let God move in us. Lord, give me a more merciful heart. Soften my heart. Show me how to love rather than how to retaliate. Show me how to be patient. Show me how to acknowledge my sins before you and recognize a fellow sinner exactly as you see him. That's a great Lenten work. It's a great part of our Lenten journey.